to 16, verses 1 through 16. And I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. And I want to share with you what I believe the Lord is saying for us that have been going through a season, have been going through something, and have been asking God for this something to make sense. Genesis 16, verses 1 through 16, out of the New American Standard Bible, it reads in this wise. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you." Lord, how we like to blame shift, don't we? "I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now watch this in verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" I find it very interesting that any time you're running from something that causes you pain or causes you to be despised or to have a disposition towards someone else, the angel of God begins to ask you, "Where are you coming from and where are you going?" He is addressing to you your actual state of mind in the place of where you're at. First of all, he's identified who you are and what you do in that position. Not only did he call her Hagar, he says, "You are Sarai's maid." Are you reading that? God knows what your position is. He knows what title you hold, and he knows when you're out of the will of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hear me now. I just wanted to share something with you, that he will send an angel when you're running from a place and going to a place called Shur. "Surely I'm going to do something upon my own will and take matters into my own hands. Even when I know it's wrong, I may still have to find a place that's sure." When he asked her, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Lord Jesus, why you want to speak to me in that manner when you know that woman is causing me trouble? You know that woman is crazy. She look at me sideways. She always has attitude because she wants to remind me she the boss. Now, verse 10 reads differently. It says, "Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that you will be too many to count." Wait a minute. Hold up. How was the angel going to bless her, even when, first of all, she messed up? She did things she should have never done, but she's out in the wilderness. Oh, please hear what I'm trying to get across. Have you ever been a place where you know things ain't going your way? And you're running from something and the perfected will of God, but then the angel of God shows up right in the midst. And you get blessed in your wilderness experience. Oh, hear me now. You think that your wilderness is there to take you out, but your wilderness has now become the very place that is going to bless you. We not having wilderness experiences. Everywhere is dry. It's hot. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. That's why I know I ain't going to hell. Mm-mm. They got to fix the AC down there or something because I ain't going. No. The angel blesses her and says that I will greatly multiply your descendants, that they will be too many to count. Now, he is speaking to her, even though she did something that was not what God intended, right? Is that right? God didn't intend that? Wrong. You don't think that God knows what you're going to do in your disposition? You don't think that God knows you're about to make a mistake? You think you caught God off guard? Lord, I was hoping to be in the church of the House of Manna tonight that would be here. But ain't nobody want to work with me. It's all right. It's all right. I want to look at verse 11, the paradigm shift. Watch this. Verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Let me give my little dance song. Myself, sure. I have been afflicted. I have gone through some stuff. Now the angel is going to tell me, I'm going to tell you what you're carrying. And what you're carrying, you're going to name it this. It may have felt like just things that you've been going through make no sense. But it has a name. Not only does it have a name, it has a gender. It has a gender that is going to multiply. And God has seen the afflictions. And what he's going to do is cause that affliction to multiply. But for his purpose, not your purpose. Oh, somebody help me here. What he's talking about is, I know what you're running from, why you're running, but I'm going to bless it even though you're running. Whew. I'm going to put a name to your affliction. Watch this. I love this. Verse 12. Yeah, did y'all read verse 12 already? Did y'all get ahead of me? He will be a wild donkey of a man. Oh, Lord. Mama, the angel came to you. It said, Marty's going to be a wild donkey of a man. You know, as a mama, don't you be talking about my child that way. His hand will be against everyone. What is he talking about? Oh, he's just a mess. He's going to cause so much trouble in everybody's life. And everyone's hand will be against him. Mama? Kind of seems like it should have been, his name shall be called Marty. Put your name there. Every time you've been going through some mess, you put your hand into everything. You put your hand in it. You say, well, I don't put my hand in it. Yeah, you put your mouth on it. That's your hand. Because the words begin to create on what you speak. Help yourself. I will help myself. Oh, Lord. And he will live to the east and all of all his brothers. Why did he say he will live to the east of all his brothers? Oh, because Ishmael always goes towards the sun, always goes to a new beginning. There is something about this tribe that you have to understand. They are a people always looking for something new to do. They have a tendency to always do things on their own will, their own might, to do whatever they want to do, regardless of what God is saying for them to do. Oh, Lord. I'm just trying to read the first scripture. You're going to help somebody today. You're going to help somebody today. If it's helping me, oh, hallelujah. Verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her. You are a God who sees. For she said, I have even remained alive here after seeing him. Therefore, the well was called Beer Laharai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Verse 15. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, who called the name of the son. Who named the son? Who? Abram. How did Abram know what to call the son? Does it say here that he spoke to him? Why would Abraham name the son what the angel said? Ooh-wee. Looky here. I'm trying to tell you something. God is in all the details, even when you're taking matters into your own hands. Even when you feel like you've been waiting just a little bit too long for that promise. Abraham called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. The delay to your promise is not a no. The delay to the many things that maybe has come your way does not mean it's not going to happen. But the mistakes or the actions that we make in our waiting does not mean that God is not about to use it. Didn't say when, though. Did not say when. What we do in the delay is the key to achieving the promise. Now, Abram, he had people following him. He had his cattle. He had all of his livestock. He had his servants. Well, he had his wife. And now he had his other wife. Isn't that enough? But he had all of his servants, too. Now, do you think because the promise didn't come about him going to have a multitude and God was going to bless him through his seed? Do you think that he was supposed to stop working? Do you think he was supposed to stop taking care of his flock? Huh? His wife? His herdsmen? Remember, he had Lot with him too. Taking care of his family. No, he was still to continue working the land. He was to continue doing what he was supposed to be doing, even though a promise came to him. God never said when. But usually what happens is we start looking at natural circumstances. And in our natural circumstances, we begin to think what we must do to make change. That's what Sarai did. Well, I ain't got no children, so take my servant. You know, so Abraham didn't fight this. Sarah didn't fight it either. I mean, Hagar didn't fight it either. So all of this is taking place, and you think we're getting out of the will of God. So we must work the land, work the promise, and then we must still lead the people. Because he's speaking to Abram. He has to lead the people. And how does he do it? By living by as an example. He's following after God. He's already heard the promise from God. He's already believing God. He could have got very frustrated too. Now, the wife makes a decision. The father responds. The husband responds. And does what wife said to do. Kind of like in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. God spoke to Adam, promise. And the wife made a decision. Adam followed suit. Who got spoken to next? It was the husband. It wasn't Eve, nor was it Sarai. See, God's plan is always in the works. Regardless if we're waiting forever, and as long as we're waiting, He's watching. He's watching us. God knows your heart. Jeremiah 17:10 out of the New Living Translation. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. When I read that, I said, Lord, some of my actions, you know, come on. Some of your actions, don't make me start listing them. Some of them are your mouth, how you talk, how you respond. Oh, yeah. He takes account for it all. But He also knows your pain. God knows your pain. Psalms 56:6 says, you know how troubled I am. You have kept the record of all my tears. Psalm 56:6. So He knows your pain. He knows all of the tears. He's kept account of everything of your sorrow. So you can't go to Him and say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. I may not be acting a certain way, but my heart is troubled. God just said in the scripture, I know your heart. I know your motives. I know your pain. And then His ways. Don't you think God knows our ways? Well, Sylvia, you know God knows your ways, Sylvia. He knows that Sylvia has a tendency to react or respond a certain way, right? Katrina, you know He knows your ways, Katrina. Yeah. He knows your ways. Yeah. He knows your ways, Katrina. Josh, God knows your ways, right? He knows. Oh, He knows. He knows your ways. But are your ways His ways? They should be, though, right? Because we're Christ, you know, we're Christians. We're Christ-like. We've been bought with the blood, and we're Christ-like. I think we need to bring those bracelets back, the WWJ. What would Jesus do? Because we ain't doing it. Because if the truth be told, the church isn't doing what Jesus would do. That's why, okay, well, that's why the country is the way it is. There's more hatred now. Whoo. While this stuff going on with the election? Oh, Lord. There's more people fighting against different nationalities, and it has nothing to do with outside nationalities. Outside of our country, it has to do within our own country. But if the church would have taken this position a long time ago and not given in to, oh, God help me, given into their own ways, the church has to be this way. Church has to feel this way. And when I leave church, I need to leave happy. Did you come in happy? No, I'm just in general. I'm not looking at... Just in general. Y'all looking at me like... you try to fake it too. No, Pastor, no, I didn't. Ain't got no AC in my car, so shoot. Now I ain't coming happy. You need to make me happy before I leave. If you ain't coming happy, why are you putting it on me for making you happy? The Bible says the joy comes from the Lord. Right? It don't come from Pastor Marty. Joy don't come from the house of manna. Joy comes from the Lord. But why aren't we joyous? I'm not, y'all are happy. I see it all over you. we go through things. I mean, we all have issues. We all have life. Some more than others. We all make decisions that don't seem like they're, well, I was going to say Christ-like, but this is going on a podcast, so. So not the house of manna, because y'all make the right decisions, the biblical decisions, the Christ decisions. You seek the Holy Spirit in every decision before you act. You go in prayer before you act upon anything. You go before the Lord until you get a release about anything before you act. That's the house of manna. What y'all looking at me like that for? It's like... Then the very end of the statement should be, not, because we're real. We're a relevant church, right? Are we relevant? Yeah, we're relevant. I'm going to tell you how real we are to the society now. We're so sick and tired of being sick and tired of someone telling us how tired we are and trying to give a scripture about how tired we are and how we need to overcome these things. But yet they have that big old plank in their eyes and they're trying to look at the speck that is in our eyes, right? We want to look at everybody's sin. We want to tell everybody their sin. But we don't want to deal with the one in our eyes. And this is where the church has been. And has been doing this for the longest time. We want to be the people that want to judge others. But we don't want to deal with ourselves. Ooh-wee. Oh, Lord, use me. I yield myself unto you. And I know I'm called according to the riches in the glory in Christ Jesus. I know the plans you have for me. And you start quoting every scripture. You start feeling the goosebumps and all. But then when God says, okay, I need you to house that individual. Oh, Lord, I'm going to pray about that one. I need you to go and feed the homeless. Ooh, it stinks. I need you to show up to church on time. Oh, Lord. Ooh. Ooh. I was trying to give Josh a time to just relax. And ooh. Just praying the Holy Ghost, y'all. Just, I'm still trying to just give you a little bit of something. We need to be a people that when we make mistakes, we own them. Instead of being like Sarai, blaming her husband. We need to own our mistakes, deal with our mistakes, and start putting it on other people, other genders, and other ways of life when we don't know how to change our own life. Take what is ministered to you in churches or podcasts through television evangelists, but not change your life, but you want to change everybody else's. Oh, I think the devil a little bit mad right now. Yeah, he's sitting in the third. No, I'm just playing, just playing, just playing. Everybody start looking at the third row with you. The enemy knows that if he can stop the word from penetrating into your spirit, he can steal that word before it ever takes root. When you think that the grace of God and the blood of Christ is going to protect you from the thief who is stealing the word, you have been deceived. Mm-mm. What was Abram doing? Abram was a man that pursued and asked and inquired of God on a daily basis. He knew when to sacrifice before the Lord. He knew how to live right before the Lord. So what made it difficult for him is to see his wife in difficult times. How many of you got some loved ones in your life that you don't like seeing them going through some hard times? Yeah. So instead of having to make matters worse, let me just go along with it. You better hear, this is a prophetic word for you, for the body. And where did the church err?
Where has the church missed it? When we got so fed up not seeing a promise manifest, we begin to look on how we can please and appease others so that we don't make matters worse. As opposed to waiting on the Lord and putting the things that he has taught us to use. That's what caused the Ishmaelites to come. But God used it. God used it. You're not going to outsmart God. He knows your heart. He knows your pain. He knows your ways. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank you, Jesus, right? I need someone whose thoughts are a lot higher than mine. Neither are your ways my ways. Thank you, Lord. My ways kind of get a little crazy out there. And I need someone that knows the ways better than my way. Because they always end up the wrong way. Saith the Lord. He is a step ahead of us. He's always watching his word. Go down three more verses to verse 11. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when we make a mistake, God knew you were going to make it. Why? He knows your heart. He knows your position. He knows your ways. Abram and Sarai didn't take matter into their own hands. Do you think? You think that God didn't know that Rami was going to make a choice that could affect the life of her husband and her? You know, Sarai? No. Okay. It's just like, wait a minute, I'm not in that scripture. That's not me. Just playing. But what it is that he knows everything we're going to do before we even do it. If he is the author and the finisher of our faith, he is the one that is going to finish what he started. When he spoke to Abram that he would bless him, when he told him to leave his kindred and his kind, to leave everything behind, to a place that he would show him so that he would make him a great nation, and through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He didn't tell him when it was going to happen. He didn't tell him how it was going to happen and with whom it was going to happen. So now I see Abram the man, trying to do everything that God has told him. He's getting older. Getting older, and to the point now is like, this doesn't seem like maybe I really heard from the Lord. Think about the actions up until this point. Here you are. As a man following the voice of God, whom has not been seen, has very little scripture or scrolls to understand, all by faith. Has many other gods as statues that he can see with other individuals and other tribes or other people whom they worship. But he had to take for himself that he heard God for himself. And then God tells him, I need you to leave your family, your friends, your house, the city, the town in which you live. Take your wife with you. Can you imagine Sarai then? Don't miss that there's another party involved. That's part of a covenant. I'm sure if it had been a different Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Because see, this Bible is written by men. Let a woman write it. Oh, yeah, sorry, chicken. And you're like, hey, wait a minute now. It'd be a little bit different. You would have different versions of the Bible. You would have, you know, that rating system. This is rated G for God. This is rated PG. Please, God. This is rated RG. Really? God? And rated X. Oh, no. Hell no. I want you to think about it. Because Sarai didn't say anything when it was time to leave. Get a woman out of her house. Now, remember, Abram had a lot of cattle. He was wealthy. So he wasn't in a little shack. Don't miss this, please. I'm just still trying to set it. I may be here a little bit longer than 9. I'm just going to let you know. So if you got to go, that chest is open all night for a reason. Just saying. Now, yeah, let me just use you for a second. Got yourself a man. So, man, he wealthy. He wealthy. Anything you want, baby, is yours. You can decorate the house any way you want. You can have servants if you want to. Oh, shoot. I ain't got to clean this big old house. It's the rated G version. Now, the PG version is about to kick in. But, baby, we're going to have to leave this in about another month or so. Oh, please, God, let this not be true. If the Lord said we got to go, we got to leave everything here. Our version just kicked in. Really, God? This man crazy. He's getting old. He ain't all that like he used to be. Like that, he used to have some abs, I know. Yeah. His hair went gray quick. Blame it on me. You know what I mean? Follow you? Where? I ain't gonna follow you anywhere. Go. Yes, babe, we're going to go. Oh, now? You see all my dresses? I know you had to build me another closet just for my shoes. What can I take with me? Just some clothes, and you can bring your servant. That version switched to rated X now. Oh, hell. Shoot, you must be out your mind. We'll follow you. You got all this here. Where are we going to go? God's going to tell us where to go. You mean you don't even know where we're going and we're just going to follow you? What do you mean I'm supposed to just follow you and submit under authority unto you? Being the man of God that you are, he hadn't even told you where you're going. I'm just supposed to follow you? So you know, those earrings and everything came off. Because back in there, they had an earring here, earring here, earring right here too. They took that one out the nose too. Like, come on! What am I trying to tell you? Is it... She had to, by faith, follow her husband. I think she was already a little salty. Some of y'all. Woo! Mama, I think I done found out why people don't come to this church. I found it. They're like, man, we want a pastor that just, has that tie up there and he has that suit on all the time. He is very presentable and he exegesis is right and he does everything right. He break down the word and he tells us the word, give us revelation. I can go home and I can study it and I can come back to church knowing the word. No, he says, apply the word, do the word. So I'm here to make it plain for you. So you can't give me no excuse why you ain't doing it. I done made it so plain for you that when you're salty, you still got to follow authority. I don't wish I had a drummer here. Where's Jeremiah? Get on the drum, Jeremiah. Get on that drum, sir. Go ahead. You're going to get on there. You'll get on there too. You're going to help me out. See, I don't hit a nerve, Jeremiah. I don't hit a nerve with some people say, you know what? That's why I don't go to your church because you always talk about stories. They don't make no sense in the Bible. You don't read the Bible enough to make sense in your own life. And I said, God, I got to make a change. I got to do things right. I got to make sure people know that I'm preaching word. He says, when I walked around talking to my disciples, I irritated them so much because I told them stories. That made no sense to them. y'all better hear me. You better, like, y'all, let me just sitting there looking pretty. I'm going to test you on this one. He said, look, because I'm telling you, I'm being very transparent with y'all right now. I have question and question and question. Why ain't this church filled? And I listen to other preachers. I said, man, they preach good. You know what the Lord told me each time? Don't you dare. I am not a cookie cutter preacher. Some of the cookies may come out a little deformed. But I tell you what, all the ingredients are in there just the same. It may not be perfect and cut all around the edges, but you're not. You're a little rough around the edges too. So what I'm trying to tell you is Sarai had to follow a man, have to follow a man's heart after God when she herself didn't understand who he was worshiping. Oh, man. You're going to leave your dresses and all your shoes, but you can bring just a little bit, but you can bring your servant with you. Shoot, I believe she walked with attitude the whole time. I went from my own house with a roof to a tent. Sleeping on dirt. You better know you heard from God. Y'all don't read the Bible like I read it. I bet you're going to be asking for those versions of the Bible I just spoke about. You tell me, can I have the R version? Really, God? Then she follows him all the way out there in the wilderness. And a nephew had to tag along. How many times do you bring people along with you where God told you to go and do something, but God didn't curse them? But because Abram was faithful to God, he allowed it. He didn't speak to him when things were going crazy. Their herdsmen were fighting against each other. Their cattle were eating up all the land, destroying the land. God didn't speak. He waited on Abram to make a decision. Can you imagine Thea? It's Thea, right? Thea looking over at her nephew. Why are we going to take care of you? I leave the door open. You come for tacos every morning. Don't you think when I get off of the bus and I get home, I'm a little tired. I want something to eat. Huh? You know I come home from the Knicks at a certain time, walking down Dresden until I get to my house. You know I get hungry too. Like, why you always got to be eating all my stuff? I got you by ya. Y'all don't know. On, Jeremiah. Walk with me. Come on. Watch this. Sarai has to follow Abram. And here along come nephew. But one thing you got to understand about a nurturing auntie that has no children, what will she do when the only family that she has comes along? How is she going to be? She is going to be mothering the nephew the whole time because the only relatives that she has is the nephew. Don't miss this. So the energy and faith is going to be put into what she does not have. So she doesn't know that she's beginning to be prepared for what is to come later in the midst of her being obedient following her husband, not knowing, going into a wilderness experience. The whole time she's putting seed into the nephew. Oh my God. And she is being trained up on how to mother a child when she has no child. Now, here comes Abram. Look, nephew, I love you, but we're going to have to part ways. So he chooses to go left. Stay right there, Lot. What do you think Sarai, what do you think she was thinking that whole time? I have no child of my own. The only child that I have been raising up, nurturing, taking care of, now you're telling me to loose? No wonder why she was already upset. Watch this. Don't get this twisted. What she was doing was releasing what was in her hands so that God could release what was in his hands for her, based out of the faith of Abram, when she didn't know if he really truly heard from God. She just had to trust God. God began to work on her as she was taking care of him. So now her heart's broken because all the years that she poured in, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, all the seed, all the time, the prayer, the effort. She had her Isaac experience that Abram would be Abraham later would have. She had it with Lot. She had to let go of what she nurtured, what she labored for, what she prayed for, what she had to believe God for protection for. She had to let him go. My. I hope you hear this. None of it is in vain. None of it is in vain. Everything in which you have poured into his life, he's going to remember. Because what does the scripture say? That you rear up and teach a child, so that when he grows old, it will not depart from him. She begins to live out scripture before it is ever written. She trained up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he left and went into Sodom and Gomorrah, what came to Lot? You want to say the angels? God showed up to watch his word be performed to where it was set out. Are you hearing this? The word that would be written later, she was living it. So now, hear this. Sarai is laughing as the angels come to declare her to have a child. Why? Doubt had set in, because all of the time that she spent pouring seed into something to mature, nurture, and to grow is no longer with her. Why is she now in her old age going to receive something that she don't believe she can receive? So she laughed. She begins to live out scripture like never before. What was Abram doing? What he was supposed to do. Work the land, lead the people, and just be faithful. God hadn't even dealt with him yet. He was dealing with the one that could carry promise. Oh, you need to hear this. Who carried the promise? Who carried the promise? Eve carried the promise in the garden. Who carried the promise in the wilderness? Sarah, who later becomes Sarah, carried the promise. She first had to labor through some things. She had to begin to put seed into another human being, begin to nurture, raise up, to train up. And so that when it was released, the child was released, God remembered everything that she did. And because of Abram, remembered Lot. And sent the angels to go and get him and his family. Now, did she nurture Lot's wife? Just Lot. Who returned back to her? Just Lot. You may be going through something in your life right now. You feel that it's the wilderness experience. God's going to turn that thing around. But when you first release what you have been nurturing and what you've been taking care of and what's been in your hands, what's been in your control, when you release that, God is going to bring that very promise back to you in the very time, because he's watching that word to perform it where he sent it. He didn't send it in the city. He sent it in the wilderness for it to come to pass. In the wilderness. You been in the wilderness? Huh? Sometimes we so much in the wilderness, we can't even see straight, think straight. But be ready and expecting, because it's coming to you in your wilderness. Even when you think you messed up and Abram had to go into now Hagar, God was going to use that birth to preserve. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. To preserve a people. God's plan is always bigger than yours. Your mistakes did not take them by surprise. Your mistakes did not cancel the promise. It may have delayed it, but it did not cancel it out. What did he do? He let Abram name Ishmael. Became the Ishmaelites. Turn with me to Genesis 37. Ooh, and I made a good timing too. Genesis 37, verses 23 through 25. How many of you know the story of Joseph in the Bible? Yeah, we should know it, right? Okay, watch this. Okay, just for now. Joseph has these dreams, right? These dreams, which are the word of God. How many of you have dreams that you know they're prophetic and they're from the Lord? Okay? And he tells his daddy, right? What does that represent? When God gives you something, you take it to your authority. Wait! You don't just take it to anybody, you take it to your authority. And when you take it to the authority, what happened? He made him a coat. What was that coat? Many colors. We call, oh, that's the coat of many colors. That's favor. No, that's a covering of a father. A covering of a father, because you brought the word that the Lord has spoken concerning your destiny. The father was saying, you need to cover it, son. And I'll cover you. You're going to have people turn against you. Didn't think it's going to be his own sons turning against the other son. So they plotted to kill him. They threw him in a pit instead. It says into a cistern. You know what a cistern is, right? It's a grave. A grave. How many of you have felt like your promises and your words have fallen into the grave? Have you felt like every word has went into the grave and died, and it's not coming back out? Oh, but watch what comes Joseph's way. Read it. Watch this. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe that he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelites. Oh, the mistake that was made with Sarai, Abram, and Hagar. A tribe of Ishmaelites was coming by. These were traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to where? Egypt. What I'm here to tell you is your mess ups may only be a hiccup, but you're trying to make it so bad that you think that you have canceled everything. Even when you're thrown into a pit and your dreams and your promises and everything go down with you, God had already had a plan years before that there was going to be a group of someone's mistakes was going to come through and lift you up out of that pit to get you down to Egypt where you belong for His purpose, His plan for a people to be saved. You are only in a position right now in a season that you're in, so only that you yourself can be blessed and have that word become manifested in your wilderness experience. Have you ever made a mistake thinking it's not going to turn out your way? Watch down the line what will happen for you. Reminds me of a harlot. Why, Marty? Because there's harlots everywhere. But in the city, there was one special harlot that when the spies came over, she was the one that hid them. So she let down a scarlet rope, thread, whatever you want to call it. In the rage, she said, just remember me and my household, which incidentally was in Jericho. What walls fell down in Scripture that was not done by the hand of man? Jericho. What portion of the wall remained? Just her section where she let down the spies was the only walled section, even unto this day, that did not fall when God said for it to come down. Why? Because He watched the word to it be performed where He sent it. Oh, which through that harlot came a lineage. Out of that lineage came Jesus. Out of a murderer, a people were saved, Moses. Out of an adulterer, David, a kingdom was established. Your mess ups do not cancel the plan of God. It can delay it. But God knows your heart. He knows your mind. And He knows your position. So nothing you have done will cancel out His word. Nothing. Ooh-wee. I said, Lord, I'm going to look for all my past mistakes. They're going to come and get me out of this pit, aren't they? Somewhere down the line, I made a mistake somewhere. And somewhere that mistake is going to be a blessing to me. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's been a couple of years. But that's going to be a blessing to me in this season. Oh, come on. Let me prophesy to you, Popo. The things that you have done in the travels up north and the things that you learned and acquired was not in vain for what you are going to experience in the season to come, even in this season of your life, will come to manifestation for what you were there to learn, what you were there to do and to accomplish will come manifest in this season. I've been asking God, Lord, why in the world did I go up to Ohio to work on roofs, and I'm scared of heights, and then come down to Dallas, Texas, get up on those roofs, nearly cried. That's why I got all these gray hairs. I was so scared, but not see the full benefit and fruition of what He sent me for. Come on, we all make decisions in our life that we haven't seen the harvest for. Oh, that was because you got ahead of God.
You think God didn't know I was about to do that? You think I didn't pray before I did it? So I'm believing God that everything that it caused, because it caused a lot of grief, caused a lot of problems. But I know one thing's for sure. I'm going to watch my mouth in my season right now. Because I'm not about to curse my season, nor am I going to curse what God is doing. Abraham did not curse. He just did. We've got to be careful in our season. It can be prolonged. How you deal with the pits in your life will determine how long it's going to take you to get to your palace. Don't like it? Take it up with the rated X version of the Bible with God. Oh, hell no. Got to go through this again. Learn to keep your mouth shut. Learn to change the way you act. Learn to start putting the word of God to use in your life. Think God don't see you? He sees you. And nobody was in the cistern with Joseph when he was in the pit. Don't even say what he was saying in the pit. What if they would have left you in a pit? How would you have responded? Not favorably. And the pit that you're in is something that's been dug deeper than where you stand. Hear this. Sometimes in our standing, we feel like we're sinking. Sometimes in our sitting, it seems like we're lying. Even as we're lying, it seems like we're beginning to be immersed deeper into the very thing that is causing us trouble. Things that go beyond what your faith is right now. See, when people say, God will not give you more than he can handle, I don't believe that. I don't believe it at all. Because the Bible says he knows what you can handle. How much of it. You yourself don't know what you can handle until you go through it. You want change in your life. You want change in this season. We have to know that God is looking and watching the word for it to be performed. The mistakes that we make along the way, he's got the Ishmaelite. The problem from the past, getting ready to deliver you and take you to where you need to go. Joseph could have easily said, now wait a minute, God, this ain't right. First of all, my brothers turn on me. You throw me into the pit. They lie to daddy that I'm dead. And now I'm sold into slavery? How's that going to be? How's his response then? And then when he gets sold into slavery, he goes in to be a slave. And they get thrown into jail. You know the story. Things don't go well for Joseph. It seems to me that it could have went the right way all along. But maybe his character wasn't in check before he got to where he needed to be. Or the vice versa. Maybe God was so intrigued by how Joseph was responding that he kept putting more on him. How do you think Joseph was responding? You won't stay in the pit longer than if you're going to be bad. You may stay in the jail longer. Because he may have somebody say, oh, I've got someone that needs to learn a lesson, but I'm going to have you get blessed by them, even in their prison or their pit. And not wait until they get out of it before they get used by me. If you're praying his will and to be used of God. Yeah, I heard that. Some of you are like, well, I don't want to be used. I'm just going to go to church, go home. Okay, do that. He'll get you. Because what you're saying is my life isn't purpose. I'm just taking up space. Everybody's here on purpose. His purpose. And it wasn't until they went through some things that they found out his purpose and his plan. You think he used Jacob to bless and restate the very blessing that he had stated to Abraham? And Jacob was bad.
What about Peter? Let's fast forward to the New Testament. What about Peter? Peter was constantly acting a fool. And he made it a point. For 40 days, he showed up to everybody else. He says, go tell Peter. I know you denied me. I know you turned from me. But meet me in Galilee. I have an appointment with you. Because I love you that much. And it wasn't until he had the revelation of the love of God, then he realized, I can do greater things if I just learn to follow him. And that's what we've got to learn. Because even in the mess, even in the dry season, the desert seasons, he's going to teach us his character, teach us his ways, so that we can learn how he wants us to live. Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. If you don't like how your life is going, start asking God what needs to be changed. He'll show you. He will. That's how much he loves you. Amen. How many of you want those versions of the Bibles? And they make some sense, don't they? I think we need to have that understanding is when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he changed some things up on them to challenge them. It's to make them learn more about him. I believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do in your season. In your season. He just didn't say when. But believe it's coming to you. Amen. Lord, if you hand out the envelopes for our tithes and our offering. Joseph was taken by the Ishmaelites to Egypt. Joseph was a representation of the Redeemer. Our Father's heart is a Redeemer. He will redeem you of your past, your present, and even in your future, he's there. So I ask you just to go ahead and search your heart and let God minister to you what needs to change, what he needs to show you, what needs to be revealed, what revelation is needed, because he has a plan. His word is still going to be performed. Let's just trust him. Amen. If you have your envelopes ready, go ahead and lift them up before the Lord. I know they're just passing them out. If you need to do PayPal, it's back there in the back. Michael will help you with that. You can stop the recording already.